Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I get jerked one way, let go of that jerk, of that line, and then get jerked the other way through flames, and so it's all licking up my face, and then through a crowd of soldiers, and and then I got tagged by one of my mates whose knee, as I've been dragged, just hit my temple perfectly, so I was completely out.
Unconscious.
And Tolga was on the line, so he had to keep me up, and so I'd gone up into the air, but then I was just dangling on a line, unconscious, and then you get dropped back down and just all these stunt arms are looking after you.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. Okay, welcome back to Cunning Stunts, and today you're going to hear our interview with the talented Martin Wilde. Martin knew he wanted to be a stuntman when he was just 5 years old, and from a young age he was always building ramps and throwing himself about. After graduating at university in performing arts, he began his training for the British Stunt Register, and within 4 years he was qualified and on. Some of his first days were performing with myself and Dan on the Harry Potter films, where he ended up doubling Draco Malfoy and Neville Longbottom. Since Potter, Martin's had an amazing career, doubling many leading men. In this interview, he shares some of his on-set experience, which includes jumping into water from 86 feet and also being knocked out whilst being on the end of a wire. So here's our interview with Martin. Hope you enjoy. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us today. Do you mind by telling us your name and introduction? How long have you been in the Stunt Register?
My name's Martin Wilde, and I've been in the register now for about 10 years, so that's a decade of working in the stunt business, yeah.
Decade of stunts. And How did you get introduced to the stunt industry?
Well, it's something, do you want the history of why I got into it?
Yeah, or, why not, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I watched a film called Hooper when I was probably about 5 years old, and that sold it to me, you know.
What's Hooper?
Hooper is the stuntman film with Burt Reynolds in it. Only one of the only few films where a stuntman is a lead character in it. Huh. And it's like Burt Reynolds' life as a stunt performer. It's great. It's really tongue-in-cheek. It's like, what's the car one that he did?
Oh, Cannonball Run.
Yeah, it's a bit like Cannonball Run.
Smoking the Bandit.
Smoking the Bandit. It's in that tongue-in-cheek sort of way. But it's a film all about the stuntmen, basically.
Oh, okay, cool. Sorry, so you were saying you watched Hooper when you were five?
When I was five, yeah. And so it's all about Hollywood stuntman. And so, you know, he was a womanizer, drinker, and did all these amazing gags and stuff like that. So, you know, even at five, I went, that's what I want to be.
Nice.
Womanizing, alcoholic stuntman. Fantastic.
Exactly. So that's where we are now. Yeah. But, no, I mean, so I watched that, and then So then I started building ramps and jumping off things and climbing trees and jumping rivers and things like
Hang on, you would build ramps for yourself and go on with your
Yeah, bricks and some planks and then just go off down to the bottom of the hill and see how far you could go, usually scraping along the floor. But yeah, that was that. And then, yeah, so my parents said, is this what you want to do? And that, you know, at 13, I said, yeah, it's what I want to do. I mean, I wanted to perform as well. I was always on stage, you know, acting and that kind of thing. So I've always had a performance or showing off kind of background to me. And so then when 16, they said again, what do you want to do? So I said, oh, I want to be a stuntman. And so they said, well, go and get a degree first. So I got a degree in performing arts and media performance, and then found out how to get on the stunt register, trained, and then that was that.
And how long did it take to do your training?
4 years, but that included 2 summers. I was teaching scuba diving in Menorca. Okay.
Cool. And so, can you tell us your qualifications?
Yeah, it was high diving, trampolining, scuba diving, horse riding, swimming, and jiu-jitsu.
Oh, okay, brilliant.
I feel like you're one of the first guys, because like everyone has sort of like started by, oh, I was in martial arts, or I was into, you know, horses or whatever. I feel like you're one of the first people that started off with, I want to be a stuntman.
That was it. I mean, that was at 5 years old, exactly what I wanted to do. So, you know, I kind of had to pinch myself when I first started to get into films. I mean, getting on the register is great, but the first year I think I had 2 days work because I didn't know anyone. And then the next year I had 4 days work, and then I started to do more observation days. And that's when, one of the first observation days was meeting you and yourself all those years ago.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I'm getting there. This is my dream that I've always wanted. And it's kind of, you know, it was happening. And then, you know, a year after that, then it started to snowball a little bit. And then I kind of got recognised a little bit. And then that's when my career really kind of just went forward.
Because you're such a good, like, because you're a great stuntman, but you're also sort of like, you're the proportions of a lot of actors.
Exactly.
So you're a very good double as well.
Yeah, I think that helps a lot. It does help a lot. And I think performance elements as well, from being, you know, on stage a lot and sort of like acting, it gives you a better performance when you're performing a stunt. And yeah, I'm a good size to double actors, but you know, it's funny because I'll double from 5'8" to 6'3". So I mean, sometimes when you're flying through the screen, as long as you've got the same costume on and its colours, you can't tell if someone's 6 foot or 6 inches different.
Yeah. Okay. And can you just tell us some of the films that you worked on, and maybe some of the actors you've doubled?
Well, Harry Potter. So I doubled obviously Tom and Matt. So it was Draco Malfoy and Neville Longbottom. Then I went on to double Johnny Depp on Dark Shadows. Just finished doubling Charlie Hunnam on King Arthur. Who else? Eddie Redmayne in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah. So as you've gone on throughout your career, any injuries you picked up so far?
Touch wood. I mean, I've done pretty well. I mean, I've been jerked through double doors, and then we had to overlap it where I had to do a flat back, so run as fast as I could, jump as high as I could onto some tiles, and then I had a harness on as well, so then they jerked me as I've hit the top step, 6 or 7 steps down to hit more tiled floor and be dragged along the floor. And did a few in rehearsal, which hurt. But you know, you expect those, but then, so I had, I think, the weekend to recuperate, but that just made the swelling just perfect for Monday.
Yeah.
And so then Monday we did it again, you know, 6 or 7 times. And then when he's then going, have you got one more? You kind of go, yeah, of course I have. Of course. And, but yeah, the hematoma on my back was so big. And that was towards the beginning of the film, actually. And so it was black and blue. And then when all that swelling went down, it left a tennis size fluid sac on the bottom of my spine.
Really? Did you have to get drained?
I didn't, because in my mind I was thinking that's protecting my spine at the moment.
Yeah.
So leave it, in my stupid wisdom. But then after, you know, 8 months it starts to go and it went.
I heard that you just had like a bursa thing. You were like, it's just more padding. It's a natural pad.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I just thought it was going to look after itself.
Sure.
Because the body's quite a resilient thing when it needs to be. So yeah.
And it did. It did eventually just went away.
Yeah. I mean, there's still today, you know, my hips aren't as good as they used to be, and that's just because, you know, you still keep taking those knocks, and it's always compounding on top of each other.
Yeah.
And do some stuff with cars? Done a car turnover yet?
No, and that's the thing. I mean, I do a lot of wire work and some fighting and some high falls, and, you know, that's kind of... I basically lead double a lot, and so I tend to sort of like work with the actors a lot, whether we've got to do a fight sequence or if we've got to get them on a wire. So that's kind of where my path's gone. But driving is something I've been passionate about, you know? Yeah. And especially with the Hooper gags and things like that, and the 300-foot jump across the ravine, that was kind of like what I want to live for. But you just sometimes you don't know where the path's going to take you. And unfortunately, you know, I used to teach drifting with my mate Lloyd, and so, you know, I can handle a car, and you know, but just never had that opportunity to go and do the turnovers, the
but
crashes.
It's still early in your career for that.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. If anyone's out there.
Yeah, there you go.
Have you done a fire job, Martin?
I've been dragged through.
Dragged through flames?
Yeah, dragged through flames on Maleficent. Maleficent's flying around and I'm attached. And so I get jerked one way, let go of that jerk, of that line, and then get jerked the other way through flames. And so it's all licking up my face. And then through a crowd of soldiers. And and then I got tagged by one of my mates whose knee, as I've been dragged, just hit my temple perfectly. So I was completely out.
Unconscious.
And Tolga was on the line, so he had to keep me up. And so I'd gone up into the air, but then I was just dangling on a line, unconscious. And then you get dropped back down and just all these stunt arms are looking after you. And you're like, you know, you feel really safe at that moment. And I was like, oh, what's happened?
Yeah.
I think you were knocked out. I was like, really? Yeah. It was a strange thing. But it didn't really, for me, it sounds bad, but it's almost a badge of honour of going, yeah, I got knocked out.
Yeah, I know that,
like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that.
What is it about it? Because I do, you know, it's an amazing job, and I can like intellectually get why like there's huge amounts of like camaraderie, and it's great fun, and it's a great group of people. But what is it that like makes it worth it after the injuries and the potential for danger? And like, what is it that I guess you love about it?
It used to be that, you know, it's become very desensitized, this, especially in the film industry, that, you know, when you used to see people do gags, there was an applause. There was like a real kind of like, wow, I can't believe they've just achieved that. But now it seems to be that that's so much so commonplace in the work we do that you don't get that buzz anymore. Huh. So it becomes your buzz, you kind of then you find it in yourself that you go, I actually did that. I can't believe, you know, I did that. But it comes from being on stage. You want that applause.
Yeah.
You want that final... that thing of going, well done, we enjoyed what you do, and you just don't seem to get that anymore.
Do you get that when you see them back again, when you watch the film back and you see a job that you've done, instead of getting the direct applause from the people on set around you?
Yeah, but you also, you get it now, you get it more from your peers, from your friends going, and they say, oh my God, that was a good gag, well done. So that's when you can get that kind of thing. It was me, Andy Wareham, did an 86-foot high fall into water. And
what, clean, no lines?
No lines. It was a quarry 80, in
86 foot high fall into water.
Yeah.
It's a long way down.
It is, yeah. And, you know, we did it 8 times as well. So, yeah, it's...
Ooh, do you have shoes on?
We had shoes on, so it's good.
Underarm bruise? Did you always go in with that type?
Are you in armour doing that?
No. Okay. I had quite nice clothing. I think we all had quite nice clothing. There was no armour or anything like that. And we managed to get a wetsuit on underneath. But it was the first one's fun at 86 feet. That's when you get that quietness, and then everything starts to get quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker, and then bang. So you get that. The second one, you go, okay, I know what's coming, but you still get that buzz. The third one, you're like, okay. And the fourth and fifth, then it starts to be work. And you're going, right, this is work now. And when every time they go, that's the last one, okay, we finished today. And then they go, actually, can we just do one more? Yeah. And you're going, oh. And because me and Andy had to jump off at the same time, we looked at each other and you're going to go.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, you're both going to go. And it kind of made it easier because you know that on that 3-2-1 action, he's going to go. You can't let him go without going.
Yeah.
Because then he's going to have to come up and do it again. So it kind of helped to go off together.
And what was the impact like when you hit the water? Did you feel it through the knees?
Through the feet. And however strong you want to be, after 6 or 7 of them, you start to become weaker. So your knees bend a little, which then puts your ass into the water a bit. So my coccyx was a bit bruised for a good month afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, sitting down was a bit.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Nice. In the water 8 times from 86 feet.
Yeah.
That is, Sorry.
So, just films of recently that have caught your eye, thought that's a really good stunt film or good stunt sequence?
Mad Max is definitely one of them. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, and even maybe some films of old that really inspired you.
I don't know. Now I've gone blank.
Obviously, you started with Hooper.
It's Hooper. All
some
those.
Of the
I mean,
Jackie a lot.
Yeah, the Jackie Chans, all the 80s films and stuff like that, and then you know, all Jackie Chan's films. You know, he's you know. Everyone, I never wanted to be a big martial arts hero, do you know what I mean? I just wanted to be an action hero. That was kind of where I wanted to go. So all those films, and I think it is, it's especially when you watch something when you're young, that's who I wanted to be, you know? I wanted to be that Burt Reynolds. I wanted to be Sonny Hooper as I grew up, and I think, you know, that kind of dictates what kind of film I still like.
Yeah.
And it is cheese 80-ness and sort of like corny and stuff.
Have you found at all in the time that you've been in that, like, because of the advent of visual effects and because, like, every action film that comes out has something crazier and crazier, that there is now, like, a sense of, like, having to go bigger every time with all these sequences?
Well, what happens is that they'll go bigger and they'll just go straight to CGI bigger.
Right.
You, it's very hard. You'll find that they'll just go either health and safety or budget. They'll go, just go CGI. And so we do a lot of CG takeover now. So we'll do something that's the start of a gag, a start of a jerk or whatever, or even with cars or with the start of a turn, and then they'll just extend it.
Wow.
We're in a world of a lot of CG, but then people still want to go and see the real thing. And, you know, CG is coming along amazingly and it's fantastic, but, you know, the human eye can still tell if something's falling not quite right.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
There's just something innate about the human eye that will do that. So people will go and watch Fast and Furious just to see cars get exploded and things like that, or Die Hard, or, you know.
And it was one of the reasons I think that Mad Max was such a success, was because everyone was like, that's real.
Yeah,
and we can tell that's all real.
Yeah.
And it was great because they did have an amalgamation between the CGI and the stunts, and I think that's where that's definitely where it's going. And that was just a really good platform to show how it could be done, that, you know, you're not going to lose the stunt industry, you know.
What's sort of the last thing that goes through your head before you do a big job?
I don't know, I get, there's a real good, I mean, I've got it now, there's just that little kind of buzz of, right, okay, here we go, this is it, this is what we've been working for, like 3, 2, 1, and you go, and you have that kind of, it's almost a sense of nothing, because you've, in that moment of, you've given yourself to it, and a lot of people, I guess, gymnasts and stuff like that can really think through the air or whatever, but what happens is you've told your body what to do, so then your body just takes over, and there's this silence almost in the brain of it just takes over and does it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you find yourself and you're like, I actually did it, you know?
Yeah.
I had to do a backfall 45 foot through a glass window, and I had to hit this ledge and do a one and a quarter to back down into these boxes.
Right, so what was it on first?
Lucky Man.
Lucky Man, okay, yeah. TV series?
TV series, yeah.
Right, so you pulled 40 foot out of a window.
Yeah.
Breakaway glass.
Breakaway glass.
And then on the descend down, you hit the back of your legs
on
the ledge.
Well, I clipped an edge. There was a 3 foot overhang. Clipped the ledge.
On your heels.
Yeah.
That caused you to rotate.
Yeah.
And do a back somersault back and land back on again, back to back. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And sorry, so the hitting of the heels on the ledge was intentional as part of the
thing?
It
was, I mean, because
so
I
when
asked...
you're falling, you have to go, I'm going to hit that leg with my
feet. Yeah, because I asked the coordinator, what, you know, how do you want it? He says, Martin, as safe way as you can possibly get down, I'm happy. You know, because the ledge wasn't going to be there, but then they said they couldn't remove it because it was a listed building or whatever. So then it was like, oh, can I clip it? And he said, do whatever you want, because it makes it look a little bit harder when you clip it, because it makes it look more dynamic because you're doing a 1 1/4 back. But as soon as I clipped it, I could then look, and then I could see the box rig below me, and then I could either tuck in or open out it wherever I needed to. So it looked more gnarly than it was, but, you know, but I just remember doing that, and we're about to go, and it's like, nope, sorry, got a camera problem, and then having to G yourself back up again, and, you know, and then you're about to go again, and then there was a lighting problem, and so they did that 3 or 4 times, and then, so then that kind of got me to, I kind of went, I got resided to the fact that, oh, I've just got to do it now anyway, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my adrenaline level didn't get up anymore, I was like, oh, well, and so when I did it, there wasn't anything going through my mind, it was just like, this is the body taking over, and it was a kind of moment of quiet kind of reflection, I guess.
And would there be a stunt you'd say no to? Have you ever turned a job down yet?
Not yet.
within your capability, exactly. Within your skill set.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll go back. Because I used to, when I used to do stunts, and it was just for myself, and sort of like I was only looking after me and stuff like that, it was kind of like, you know, this is my own self, I can deal with this. But then I got married, and then that's when your mind starts to change a little bit. If I don't go home tonight, and this, that, and the other. And now I've just found out my wife's pregnant.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's good.
Dude, awesome.
So, yeah, so that's great. But then, again, now that's playing on my mind.
A new dynamic.
So, yeah. So that new dynamic of then, when the stunts do present themselves in future, will I take those opportunities? And I think, you know, my wife, you know, I met her doing stunts, and she was flying stunts and stuff like that. So she will always say, go and do it. But, you know, there will always be something in the back of my mind, and I hope that I get over that, that it doesn't then stop my ability of focusing what I need to do.
I think you're probably underestimating yourself because you're already making the right parental decisions.
Yeah.
You know, your baby's not even here yet, and you're already, you know, factoring that into your life and your everyday and your work. So I think just because you're thinking like that, you're doing the right thing, mate. Don't worry about it. So, yeah, daddy, lovely.
Yeah, I know.
Baby world on the way.
I know, exactly.
Crazy.
No, it is crazy. But I just want to say, Dave, I mean, you, for me, have been one of the most, you know, I know we haven't seen each other over the years a lot, but you were the first one that when I came into, you know, because I was completely out of stunts. I wanted to be a stuntman, but I didn't know how to be, or didn't know the circles to be in. But like one of my first, you know, observation days was with you. It's kind of like you felt me, made me feel so welcome.
Oh,
we were walking around here, and it's just like everyone knew you. Do you mean everyone knew Dave?
He was like the mayor of Leavesden.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? I was like, this is the coolest motherfucker ever.
It was home for us, wasn't it?
Totally.
You know, and it's weird, you know, then this is the first time you've been back to this place today. But then it's saying, like, to come in and it's all different and there's new people around. It's kind of, it is weird.
It's weird. It's nice. It's sad. It's all those things at once somehow. It's like, but no, you know, that's, what did you think of him when you first met him? Was he like, was he still in his cocky phase by then, or had he mellowed?
Full-on cocky phase, I think it was. I think it was like height of it. It was, But no, it was great. And so, you know, and that fate made me feel part of the family straight away, in a way. And so sometimes you can go into different groups of people, because I'm quite shy if I don't know anyone. And it's very hard to get in to that clique or whatever.
Yeah,
but
here
it was just always so open and kind of like, you know, welcoming and just, you know, it was nice.
Yeah, it's good. It was a good stunt crew. We had good people around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. So just with your career, where would you like to be? Where would you like to take it? Would you like to be behind the camera eventually?
No, I mean, I've still got performing days in me. I mean, you know, the little kid in me that still want to be that actor as an action hero and sort of like being the lead and stuff like that is still in there a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think one day I might kind of have to sort of like flex that muscle and see what happens. But you just never know. It's, you know, I came out of university going, I definitely want to be an actor, you know, but I want to be a stuntman as well. And it was just, for me, it sounds weird. It was easy to do stunts because I think that's just more me.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's definitely what I do. Whereas the acting, it's harder for me. I mean, I loved being on stage and stuff like that, but it's just, there's so many people out there that want to act and stuff like that. Whereas the stuntman, it's growing ever bigger, but the pool is quite small, especially in the UK.
I think it's because it's so difficult to get on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's one of the hardest things ever to train, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it was never a chore. There were all these things that I like to do anyway, so it never felt as though it was difficult to get on, because it was all things that I was learning, and I wanted to get better in. And so every sport that we had to do, I went one or two levels above, just so I'd have an extra edge on the people that were just getting on at the same time.
And you're always, you know, training, working on yourself, improving your craft, trying to bring new skills, aren't you?
Yeah, losing weight, putting on weight, losing weight, putting on weight, stuff like that, and you know, so yeah.
Brilliant. And just any stunts that you've really noticed, or stunt performers that you've looked from afar and gone, yeah, they're amazing, people that have got your respect?
I mean, anyone at Golden Register's got my respect, and anyone that works in this industry has my respect, you know.
That's a nice thing to say.
You know?
It's
not easy.
You know how hard it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Brilliant. Martin, thank you very much. Brilliant. Thank you, team. Okay, thanks again to Martin for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Cunning Stunts. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care. Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs.
sound recording, editor and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website www.rippleproductions.co.uk or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.